Good afternoon. My name is Tyler Sams. I'm the preacher for the Judson Road Church of Christ in Longview, Texas. Thank you for joining me today as we continue our study in the life of Jesus. And today our study takes us to the story of the baptism of Jesus. And so if you have your New Testaments with you, I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 3. And that is where we'll begin, where the first thing that we notice about Jesus' baptism is that he was baptized by a man named John the Baptist. Look with me to Matthew chapter 3, and let's start in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the district around the Jordan. For some 400 years now, Israel had been lacking a prophet. Since the death of the last of the minor prophets, it seems understood, even by the Jewish community itself, that they were without a prophet. And in those 400 years, you had had the rise of the Pharisees, and you have begun to see a religious climate and landscape that really has begun to go stale. But then here is this messenger. Here is this voice out by the Jordan River, clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt, who is preaching a radical message of repentance, and it's resonating with people. So much so that all of Judea is described as going out to hear and respond to John the Baptist. And in fact, as you look at Luke chapter 3, John's ministry had become so popular that there were several people who were questioning whether or not John might be the Messiah. In Luke chapter 3 and in verse 15, while the people were in a state of expectation and all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he might be the Christ. His ministry was so different. His message was so different than that of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. People were wondering, Is this the Messiah? Is this the promised one? And as you look back to Matthew 3 and look at verse 11, you find very quickly John disavowing that notion. He makes it very clear, look, I'm not the Messiah. That's not who I am. That's not the role that I serve. But here is a role I do have. I am here to prepare the way of him who will come. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John says, "As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not even fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So John identifies himself not as the Messiah, but as the one who was coming before the Messiah. And as he's doing his work of baptizing, here comes Jesus to John. John and Jesus being cousins, John's cousin Jesus comes to him and asks to be baptized. And knowing a bit about Jesus, John seemed perplexed by this. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 3. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answering him said, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he, that is John, permitted him. And after he was baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here is Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist after John had initially refused. But there's something else I want you to see about Jesus at his baptism, and that is his baptism was different. Not in form. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, after being baptized, Jesus went up from the water. Just as the baptism that Jesus commands today, his was very similar in form. A going down into the water, a coming up out of the water, and described as baptism, in the Greek baptizo, the idea here of immersion or submerging. Jesus was immersed Jesus was submerged. You and I are immersed or submerged when we are baptized. That's the baptism that the New Testament talks about. That's the form of baptism that Jesus underwent here. The form of his baptism was not different, but let me submit to you that the reason for Jesus' baptism was different. Listen to how Jesus describes it in verse 15. Permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. The reason for Jesus' baptism was different. Here it's described as for fulfilling all righteousness. But the baptism today that we're called to undergo is for the forgiveness of sins. Do you remember Peter saying that in Acts chapter 2? And in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Or similar to that, in Romans chapter 6, if you've got your Bible with you, turn over to Romans chapter 6. Look with me at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Listen to what Paul had to say here. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into his death, buried with him, raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, walking in newness of life. Baptism brings us into Christ, into a relationship with him. Paul will say much the same thing in Galatians chapter 3 when he describes our baptism into Christ and our putting on Christ. But here's a major way in which our baptism and Jesus' baptism differs. Jesus had no sin to forgive. The baptism that Jesus calls on us to submit to today is a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but Jesus had no sin to forgive. He committed no sin, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, nor was any deceit found within his mouth. There was no sin in Jesus' life from which he needed forgiveness. And thus we see his baptism being a bit different than ours. So then what does he mean back in Matthew chapter 3 when he says that his baptism was to fulfill all righteousness? Well, I don't know that we can go to any singular verse and lay our finger on that verse and say, well, see here, here's what it means to fulfill all righteousness. But here's one thing I do know, that when we see this idea of righteousness being used, it's used in a way to describe carrying out the Father's will. And when we understand that and we come back to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, certainly that begins to make sense. Jesus answering him said, permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. To do the Father's will might be another way of saying that. You remember in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, Jesus was to be given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Some part of God's plan to redeem man required Jesus' baptism. And so in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, he comes to John to be baptized for this reason, to fulfill all righteousness, to do the Father's will. And then I want you to think about this with me, that Jesus' baptism identified himself as the Son of God. There were several signs that occurred at Jesus' baptism. There was the voice of God that thundered from the heavens in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There was also the Holy Spirit, the verse prior, that descended from heaven like a dove and came upon him. So we've got something audible, we've got something visible occurring here at Jesus' baptism. And it was by these signs that John identified Jesus as the Son of God and identified Jesus as the one who would come and baptize in the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 1 with me in verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. We read, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. Now notice verse 33. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water, that's the Father, said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, This is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And then John continues in verse 34, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. It wasn't until these signs that John recognized who Jesus really was. Yes, they were cousins, but it wasn't until this moment that John put all of the pieces together and realized that Jesus was the promised Son of God who would come into the world. And so as we step back and we look at the baptism of Jesus as a whole, how does this help us understand who Jesus is? Well, the baptism of Jesus was by John, his cousin, and what we learn from that is that even Jesus submitted to God's will. This becomes especially important to us when we get into the book of Hebrews in our own personal Bible studies, where we find Jesus being made in all points like his brethren so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And when later in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is described as learning obedience to the things which he suffered and becoming the author of eternal salvation to all who would obey him. Jesus submitting to God's will was an important part of him becoming our high priest and being our Savior. And then the baptism of Jesus, this picture is painted even more clear for us. Second, the baptism of Jesus was different than baptism today. Jesus had no sin from which he needed to be forgiven. In a sense, there's a lot of similarity between Jesus' baptism and ours, in that Jesus' baptism was to fulfill all righteousness, to serve God, to do God's will. And indeed, certainly, if we want to do God's will today, we're going to have to submit to Jesus' command for baptism. But that baptism for you and me today takes away our sin. But Jesus had no sin to be forgiven. He's identified as sinless even early on here when we look at his baptism. And then finally, the baptism of Jesus identified who he was. Yes, John had known Jesus as his cousin. And John might have been perplexed and excited by who Jesus was and how Jesus had been living. But John seems to indicate to us here in John chapter 1 that John the Baptist didn't really know Jesus was the Son of God until the voice came forth from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon him. It was then that John the Baptist said, "I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The baptism of Jesus is important to help us understand Jesus, how he lived, the sinless nature of his life, and his true identity. Thanks for joining me in this study of Jesus' life today, and I look forward to studying again with you next week. Have a nice day.